Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise for this part of your word. We thank you that we can see your abundant generosity towards us. And we praise you for it. Our God, please open up our hearts and our minds to hear these words and to bring our praise to you, that we would accept this wonderful news. And Lord, that it would change us. Our God, lift our eyes to you this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've got some interesting news for you. It is only 11 months until Christmas. Can you believe it? Already a month has gone by since many of us were surrounded by family, enjoying a special meal, opening presents. For our kids, that Christmas time was extended by a few weeks. We had Christmas Day where they got some presents. And then about a week after that, we had a Christmas celebration with Beck's extended family where they got more. And then a couple of weeks after that, they saw some of my family and they got even more presents. The excitement that kids have when it comes to presents is intense, and you heard the giggling happening there as they were all really excited about the Skittles. Whether when they get a present they're excited and they rip open the wrapping paper, or whether they manage to control themselves and carefully open up the wrapping paper, they are excited for what's inside. Now, as you grow up, you might become more cynical. You've got everything you need and there's not really that much that you want. And really, presents have just become a hassle, whether it's Christmas or whether it's your birthday or someone else's birthday. You're over presents. They just don't excite you anymore. And if that's you, these verses need to completely upend that attitude. Because God is a gift giver. In fact, there's no one who can give a gift like he can. He gives the best gifts, the best blessings, and he doesn't just stop at one. These verses tell us about just some of those blessings. They tell us that in Christ, we have been blessed beyond imagining. These aren't blessings that we have to fake a smile for and then hide away when no one's watching. These are blessings which God's people will cherish forever. And if you're not yet a Christian, they are blessings that are being offered to you now. The main point of this passage is, in Christ, we have been blessed beyond imagining. And so let's turn to verse 3 and see our first point where we see every spiritual blessing. Read verse 3 with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, in the heavenly places in Christ. Think of who Paul is writing to. This is a church in first century Roman Empire. And yes, they had seen amazing miracles that God had done through the hands of Paul. In Acts 19, we discover that Paul had stayed in Ephesus for 2 years and people had been healed just by touching cloth, handkerchiefs that had touched him. Amazing things were happening in Ephesus, but also they had been at the hands of the mob. This mob had rioted against the Christians, and the authorities, they just stood by and watched. The church was small and insignificant in this busy port city, the capital of the Roman province of Asia. It was home to one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world, the temple to Diana or Artemis. And under the shadow of that great temple, you would feel small too. You would feel insignificant. And to this small, seemingly insignificant group of people, Paul writes these words. To those who are no doubt feeling weak, discouraged, helpless, he tells them that they are blessed. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He knows how they're feeling, and he pulls the curtain back so they can see the real picture. It's a bit like Elisha's servant in 2 Kings 6. In 2 Kings 6, the Syrian army had surrounded them one morning because Elisha had been warning Israel's king about the placement of the Syrian king's army. Israel and Syria, they were at war. So imagine being Elisha's servant, waking up one morning, rubbing the sleep out of your eye, feeling a bit dozy, heading outside to get some water from the well, looking up and seeing the army of Syrians, ready to take them out. The servant was terrified, but Elisha prayed that God would open his eyes, and he saw horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. The world looked threatening until the curtain had been pulled back. The Ephesians were feeling small and vulnerable, but they were blessed with every spiritual blessing. Not with gold or silver, not with perfect health, complete satisfaction in this life, but with real blessings which really matter and which last into eternity. And when did they receive these blessings? When they were in Christ, one with him, united to him. They were joined to Christ by faith, and now everything that he had was theirs. He was in the heavenly places, and in a very real, though invisible way, they were too. This is the reality of the Christian. This is our reality. The reality which, even though it's unseen now, is more real than the reality of the world around us in our circumstances. In this verse, we get a glimpse into the real world, the real reality. We have every spiritual blessing, verse 3 says. In Christ, we have been blessed beyond imagining. And what does that look like? Well, let's have a look at verses 4 to 10. Predestined for adoption. That's our second point. Predestined for adoption. So let's look at verses 4 to 6 in particular. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. For some, this idea that God chooses people, he predestines them, that's embarrassing. Or it's scandalous, because they can't understand why God would choose some and not others. But that's not Paul's reaction, did you notice? Listen to him. This is to the praise of the glory of his grace. The idea that God chooses us isn't something that Paul wonders about and gets worried about. This is something that drives him to praise. It's so wonderful that Paul can't help but burst out into praise. And no wonder, look at what he said. He says they were chosen before the foundation of the world. They were predestined to be adopted as sons through the work of Christ. Not because of the good that they had done. They hadn't done anything yet. Not because of the good works that they were going to do. God didn't look into the future and get so impressed by who they were going to be that then he decided to choose them. And so why did he choose them? Well, you can see in these verses that it was according to the good pleasure of his will. It pleased him to do it, to show grace to these undeserving people, even before they existed and then rebelled. He chose to save them, to adopt them, even before he commanded the light to shine on that very first day. Kids, if you can take your eyes from your worksheets for a moment, did you know that your parents didn't get to choose you? We didn't get to go to a baby store, see the list of ingredients, see the personalities, and work out who it was that we wanted to be our children. We had no idea before you were born who you were or what you'd be like. It was a surprise. And even after you were born, we didn't really know you yet. It took time to get to know you. Your parents didn't get to choose who their children would be. But God gets to decide who his children are. Before the world began, he looked around and he saw everyone who would ever be. And there were people that he loved with a special love. We don't really know why he loved them, but he did. And because he loved them, he chose them. He chose to adopt them and make them part of his family. And that means that if you trust in Jesus and become part of God's family, that's because God chose you first. Because he loves you. Isn't that amazing? That God chooses us. In Christ, we are blessed beyond imagining. Who would have believed that God would choose us to be his children? To adopt us when he didn't have to? He chose to adopt us and he did what was needed to achieve that adoption. He redeemed us through Christ's blood, forgiving our sin. Sinful people can't be adopted by a holy God. Their sin needs to be dealt with. And he did it through the cross. And now we who believe, we are his children. And as his children, because we are his children, he has revealed his plans to us. That everything would be united under Christ. And we'll consider more of what that means later on in Ephesians. We're only scratching the surface here. But Paul moves on. Not only has God done something for us in the past, predestining us for adoption, but he has done something for our future. So let's turn to verses 11 to 14. Guaranteed an inheritance. Our third point. Verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. God predestined the Ephesians and all of us who have come to trust in Jesus. He's predestined us to adoption. And God, he didn't just have that desire, that plan. He made it happen. just like he makes everything happen according to the counsel of his will. And we've just seen that he made it happen through our redemption, the forgiveness of sins, through Jesus' work on the cross. And because of those things, because that's what we were predestined for, now we have an inheritance. What a transformation that God has brought about in us. We've gone from orphans with nothing to our name, in spiritual poverty, abject spiritual poverty. And now we have been adopted and we've been added to the will. But even after this unbelievable adoption and the promise of an inheritance to come, we might be tempted to doubt. It might all sound too good to be true. Like the Ephesians, we might look around us and see our small numbers and then remember all the people who are at the markets and think about all the people who are at the cricket field or the footy field or sitting in front of the TV watching tennis. And we might feel overwhelmed and insignificant and hopeless. We might feel a bit like Abraham felt. God tells Abraham that in Genesis 15 that he, God, is Abraham's shield and his very great reward. And Abraham is down in the dumps because he still doesn't have a son. He's still waiting for God to keep his promise. But God assured him that he would have a son and that he would have a land. And he even passed through those slaughtered animals, making a covenant with Abraham, saying, "This is how certain it is that I will give you what I promised, that if I don't keep it, may I be like these animals." He bound himself with an oath. And for us, he seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 13. Verse 14, he, the Holy Spirit, is the guarantee of our inheritance. God has given himself completely to us. Think about it. God the Son came, purchasing our redemption, our forgiveness, by his death on the cross. Now we are in him. We're in him, and all our blessings come through him. And now in these verses we find, not only is Paul talking about what the Son has done for us, but now God the Spirit has come. God the Spirit, who had been promised all throughout the Old Testament, and he has been given to us. The Father chose us, the Son redeemed us, and the Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's what verse 3 says. We're predestined for adoption. Verses 4 to 10. We've been guaranteed an inheritance. Verses 11 to 14. In Christ we have been blessed beyond imagining. And so what do we do? What do we do with this news? Well, here's a couple of thoughts. First, if you're not a Christian, whether you've been coming here basically all your life, or whether you've just walked through the door, if you're not yet a Christian, you need to let go of your small life, your small dreams, things that are bound to this world, this life, but go no further. You need to let go of them. And you need to turn to Jesus in faith, be forgiven for your sin, and be adopted as a child of God. This life can only offer you things that are fleeting, things that are here today, gone tomorrow. But God offers you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Think about that. God is generous. He gives the riches of his grace, which abounds towards us. Find forgiveness in Christ and be blessed. Find these blessings by coming to Jesus. And when you have, and for all of us who already have, praise God. That's what Paul does repeatedly through these verses. It's all to the praise of His glory and His grace. And how could we not praise the God who chose us even while we were filthy and dead in our sins, Paul's going to say in chapter 2. We had nothing to offer Him, but He chose us anyway. He loves us. And so when we sing, sing. When we're talking with one another, speak of how kind God has been to you. When you're with your neighbour, or you're at the shops, or you're at the sporting field, or wherever you are, tell people how merciful God is, that He would make someone like you, even you, His child. We were not worthy, but He loved us. Isn't it interesting? Sometimes we're scared to explore these hard things in the Bible, things like predestination and election. We're a little bit worried. They're too intellectual and they don't make any impact on life now, so I'll just put it to the side. But Paul made predestination, he made election, a motivation for praise. Find comfort in these verses. They tell us the truth of who we are, both individually and as a church. You might feel small, and looking around here, you feel that this church is small, inferior to others. But we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Our inheritance is guaranteed because we have the Holy Spirit as a seal. Even when it feels that everything has gone wrong, these verses tell us that God works everything according to the counsel of His will, and it's His will to bless us. And finally, compare God's plans, God's priorities against yours, against your plans, your dreams, your hopes. Do they match up? See, God's passion is for His Son, uniting everything under Him. His passion is for His church, the people that He has adopted. His passion is for our holiness, that we will be without blame before Him in love. And again, we'll look at that aspect in more detail later on in Ephesians. Are these things on your radar at all? What are you focused on? Are you focused on the next holiday? That's what you're living for. The next holiday. Getting a promotion at work. Are you focused on the success of your children or your grandchildren? Does God have to make do with being on the edge of your life? You'll tune into Him when it's convenient, but if there's something better on, you'll forget about Him for a moment, or you'll give going to church a miss. You won't give any effort to telling people about Jesus because that's not your job. God has a glorious plan for this world, and for His church. Let's not get sucked into those things which don't last. They might be good things, but they aren't ultimate. Make them fit around God's plans. Prioritise what God prioritises. Don't give Him the loose change of your life. Give Him more than that. Give Him everything. He gave everything to save for Himself a people. He's given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so praise Him. Proclaim Him. Devote yourself to him and to the church that he has redeemed. The curtain has been rolled back. Our God is the ultimate gift giver. In Christ, we have been blessed beyond imagining. So let's pray and bring our praise to him. Our God and Father in heaven, what else can we say but hallowed be your name? How good you are, how gracious you are to us, that we would be called sons of God, daughters of God, people with an inheritance that will never spoil or fade or perish. Our Lord God, lift up our hearts to you. Work in us that we would live all our lives for you, that we truly would be like a deer panting for the water, that our souls would long for you and find our rest in you, because we are found secure in Christ. Lord, when we are feeling down, remind us of our blessings. Give us hope for our future. And Lord, may our joy spill over in praise as we declare your wonders to all people, everywhere and always. Amen.